This episode of Extra Life Radio is brought to you in part by GoDaddy.com. Starting at just $3.99 a month, web hosting from GoDaddy includes 99.9% uptime, 24/7 support, and free access to Metropolis, the place to install over 30 free applications sure to help you get the most from your hosting plan and website. Don't forget to use Life1 as your code, and you'll only pay $6.95 for your next .com domain. GoDaddy gets your piece of the internet today. This show is also brought to you by YouBuyNow.com, the greatest place for nerd toys ever.
You should be listening to Extra Life Radio, but you are not prepared.
Hello, everyone. It burns when I pee. Extra Life Radio.
This is Harvey Pekar, and you're listening to Extra Life Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is ELR number 141 for June, June 19th, 2007. Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is the official podcast of MyExtraLife.com. If this is your first time, welcome to the show, and it may be your last. If you're returning, I would ask, what the hell are you doing? Joining us from MissionDeep.com is Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, and joining us from CommissionComics.com Excellent. Is Obsidian. With no last name. Hello, Obsidian.
Hey.
It's like the most subdued greeting ever.
Yeah.
On a very
I'm super psyched.
Oh, very nice. On a very quiet edition of Extra Life Radio. We have a lot to talk about today and very little time to do it, so we'll just jump right into our topic. But before we do that, I would sure like to hear about a specific experience that our very own Obsidian had with his auto mechanic. Is that what they call them down there? You got a different name for those guys?
Well, we call it mecánico. I mean, we normally speak in Spanish here, but yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah.
Mecánico! What do you mean my four tires have problems? Oh, ho, 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 ho! Sorry.
Okay, because everybody here
is very offensive.
Santa Claus.
And, yeah. Well, tell us a story. But, not only do Brian and I want to hear it, but we have a whole chat room full of people. People like Debug and Mike Opp and
MS Tiger.
You
know I drive a 1955 Bullitt, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it happens, this week I'm riding around in it. Actually, it was it was before Father's Day or whatever, which was... I don't know, whenever it was. I was riding in my car during the week, and it started making a weird noise when I would step down on the clutch. Now, I know most of you Americans and a lot of other people in the world drive automatic cars, but here, where I live, where it's so mountain-y.
Yes, mountainous.
Mountain-y. I love that.
It's very mountain-y.
Driving an automatic car is a waste of time. You need to drive stick shift here.
Yeah. That's what I drive, by the way. But go ahead.
Really?
Yeah. I'm stick all the way, baby. I can't stand automatic.
Really?
Yeah.
Not me. I'm lazy.
That sounds horrible. That really sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I'm stick all the way. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, it's making a very weird noise when I step on the clutch. So I take it on Friday.
I'm going to keep it quiet. Go ahead.
To the repair shop. I take it to the shop, and I go like, hey, it's doing a weird noise when I step on the clutch. And they say, the clutch, we just have to do this and this. I mean, they did it 5 minutes, and, I gave them a couple of, what for you would be a couple of bucks, and that was it. I leave. The problem persists. I go back, and they say, oh, man. That happens.
Sucker.
We're going to have to take apart the whole gearbox. Okay, I'll just leave my car. When do I come back for it? Next week or whatever? No, I'll come back in a couple of hours.
No.
Okay, so I go back in a couple of hours, and it's not ready.
Yeah, of course
but they
not.
Do tell
nice.
Me
nice.
That sounds like America so far, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
They tell me that, the disc from the clutch and something that rolls or whatever. I mean, basically that it all broke and it has to be replaced and everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. When do I come back for it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Fortunately, this time I called. They told me it wasn't ready yet, that I should go on Saturday. So whatever, you know, Friday ends. It's not the interesting part of the story. Saturday comes. I go by there at the end of the day. I'm talking about 6, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
So I walk by the auto repair shop. There's my car. I go in. I'm like, hey, you know, so is the car ready? Oh, no, we're sorry. It's not ready. Like, what? I mean, you guys were taking the gearbox apart yesterday, and you said it was going to be ready today.
Yeah.
Well, you see, we took it apart, and what happened was when we put it back together, yeah. we didn't like how the clutch felt.
The Mechanico
did not?
So we
took it apart again.
You're talking about the Mechanico. He didn't like how it was how it felt? Okay.
Yeah. So we took it apart again.
What are you doing? I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry, Obsidian. I hate to interrupt your story, but I don't know what a crap Scott is doing over there.
What? What am I doing?
I don't know. It's like somebody's using a scroll mouse or something.
Oh, I am
you?
Using the scroll mouse. It's a long story. I'm actually.
Is it a musical scroll mouse?
Well, no, it has to do with his story. But anyway, keep going.
All right. Okay. It's go all ahead. Good.
So, by the way, Brian, the guy, you sound like your microphone is actually down your throat.
That's not like it.
It's like a distance issue or something. much better.
How's this? Is this better?
That's far better. Yes, thank you.
All right.
Yes. Okay.
So the guy goes like, okay, we didn't like how the clutch felt, so we have to take the gearbox apart again.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, this is good. You know, this is quality control. You know, they didn't like it. They took it apart again. You know, that works for me. So I'm like, okay, but I see it's put back together again. They're like, yeah, but we have to take it apart and put it back together three times. So I'm thinking, well, you know, that's not so good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, but it's back together again. So what's the problem? He's like, well, you see, here's the problem. We took apart the gearbox and all that, and we fixed it, but now the car won't start.
Yeah. Good times.
Like, oh, man.
You know,
as completely, did he say it was unrelated, or was it something they did to it?
No, it's the electric system. So I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I brought the car here, and it,
yeah.
I mean, you could turn it on. I mean, it would, you know, the ignition worked. Yeah, but now it doesn't work. Look at these two cables here. Like, yeah. do you know if they go together?
We cut these.
like, what do you mean, do I know if they go together? Don't you know?
Oh,
and they're
man.
Like, well, see, I can't remember if these two cables go together. I'm like, well, how should I know? You're the mechanic.
That's bad.
I know it.
That's very bad.
So he looks at me, and he's like, well, you know, I really don't know why the car won't start, but I'm going to ask you a favor. Okay, what? This is really what
it's
he
never
told
good when your mechanic asks you for a favor.
No, yeah.
But this is really what he told me. He goes, okay, yeah. You see, I was wondering if you could come and pick the car up tomorrow, maybe at noon, because you see, I'm very drunk and I'm not sure I can keep on working on the car.
So wait a minute, he'd been drinking all day while he's supposed to be working on your car. He's been drinking, is that the deal?
So I'm just so looking funny. At him,
dude,
and I'm like, well, yeah, sure, I can come by tomorrow. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, funny. You see, yeah, you know, I got a little bit of drinks on me. And I'm like, okay.
Dude, how do you live
the guy
down
keeps
there?
Keeps on working on my car. I mean, yeah. He doesn't stop. So right then, I'm feeling like going, you know, hey, you shouldn't work on my car anymore. You're drunk.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, I go on Sunday, and on Sunday the place isn't even open. The guy never showed up. Of course, he was probably
home. Well, he's religious.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure that was it. I'm sure he was.
Monday
observing.
Was a holiday here, so I didn't even bother in going.
Yeah.
And this morning I call and I spoke to, like, you know, the guy in charge there, and he told me that what happened was that the electrical system of the car had broken, basically. Had
beer on it.
It was like somebody poured alcohol on it or something.
So I'm like, dude, I took the car and it worked. And he's like, yeah, but it broke. I'm like, well, it broke while it was there. Like, yeah, well, you see, we had it here and it turned on, and then it wouldn't turn on.
Do they still have your car? Do they still have said car?
No, I got my car now. All right, but he's like, so I'm like, well, what do you mean? What happened to the car? Well, you know, it just broke. So you're telling me that it broke just sitting there? Well, yeah, that happens. Like,
that
no,
happens?
That doesn't happen.
No, that doesn't happen.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time. The drunk mechanico freaking screwed your car, dude. That is exactly what happened. My
that's my excuse for tomorrow for work.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, eventually.
I'm just too drunk.
Yeah, I'm too drunk. I can't come in. I've blown the electrical. I don't know what's going on. That's
eventually, I did get my car back because the thing the drunk mechanic broke. It didn't really cost much of anything to repair or anything.
Yeah.
But I think it's safe to say I'm never going back there again.
Yes, I would recommend going there anymore to the drunk mechanico. well, good. That's an excellent story. We appreciate it. And we'll now write that in our journals and reflect on it on a frequent basis. it really was a good story. Let's move on. We have a topic today. Let's start the topic by playing this,
because topico.
This will lay it out for us. It's about 2 minutes long and very much, the topico. Do we have to be drunk to talk about it? Probably not. Here it is. This is from Australia. It's a tiny clip, and it definitely lays out both the problems and, well, I guess they're all problems, but both the problems with video game addiction itself and how people misinterpret it. Here it is.
They don't realize how addictive it can be.
It's a world of fantasy and fun. But for 16-year-old Cameron Sandler, this is more than a game. It's an addiction and an illness.
I am addicted to the game, but I'm not fully addicted. Like, I can quit whenever I want.
Okay.
So what are they playing? Is he playing, like, Pitfall or something?
He's playing World of Warcraft, but they had some weird sound effects in there that don't belong in that game. Yeah, I don't know what that was going on there, but anyway.
This really kicks ass, doesn't it?
It all started 18 months ago when Cameron discovered World of Warcraft.
Oh, now I'm going to kill you all.
This never-ending computer game is played by millions around the globe.
From America, Germany, China, all of Europe, England.
And you've got friends in all of these places?
Yeah.
And that's what you refer to them as, your friends?
Yeah.
They play simultaneously for hours on end.
Pull when you're ready.
Fighting and killing their enemies.
I don't know why, I just eventually got addicted to it.
Cameron has up to 500 players on his team, known as a guild.
The longest I've ever played it for was 12 hours, and that was, just because the guild wanted me on for that long. Oh, you took my kill.
Why do you talk with an American accent when you're talking to these people?
I don't know. It's probably like you move to a new country or something. You just end up picking it up.
And that's not all he picked up.
Sake.
There's the tension and the violence.
We get keyboards thrown around the room, or holes punched in the wall, or it'll go outside and smash bottles.
Denise is Cameron's mum.
He started off with this going for an hour, 2 hours, 2 hours turned into four, four turned into six, six turns into 12, and he's now into the snowball effect that he's got to play that game.
Cameron is often up at 4 in the morning to begin playing. Sometimes he goes right through the night. His mum estimates that on average, he's in front of that screen 16 hours a day.
My choice to play it. My choice to be addicted to it.
Cameron reckons he can stand up and walk away whenever he wants. But try telling that to his mum. Denise believes he's hooked. And just like an alcoholic, a smoker, or a drug addict, getting off, beating the habit, is going to be an enormous challenge. Regardless of who's right and wrong in this household, experts are now warning that addiction to technology is becoming the fastest growing illness of the 21st century.
But you know, it's I basically didn't pay any attention. I was too busy paying attention to the accent. I just love
that. Australian accent is awesome. I found that because it seemed kind of appropriate. It was basically a look at this kid who does play 16 hours a day, who did drop out of school to play, whose mom doesn't do jack schmear to do anything about it. All she does is stand in the other. Well, she sits in the other side of the room the whole time complaining about it. Well, he stays home all day and does his thing with the dingo and the berry or whatever.
Yeah, and dingo eats his baby. Yeah.
And
have we ever offended Australians?
No, but we have before? Some. We have some.
I mean, it's good that they don't. I mean, that they don't think we've forgotten about them. You know.
Yeah.
We can offend you too.
We have some Australians that listen. I know that they'll email us once in a while and stuff. So I know they're listening and probably being offended. And I apologize.
And that makes us happy.
Well, I want to apologize for not offending them earlier because I like to think we're equal opportunity offenders.
Yeah.
And to not pick on you. Yeah. We apologize.
And as they say down under, Who's the man
Scott,
now, Dingo?
Scott, stop playing with the tic tac.
Oh, sorry. No, you guys can hear everything. The microphone they hear me through is really sensitive, so I got to be careful about how often I fart, burp, it's whatever. Sensitive. Anyway, so that's that kind of lays out the whole topic. To add to that, I have 33 seconds of this guy to play because he cracks me up. This is specific to World of Warcraft, and this guy really believes it is an addiction. Not only that, he thinks there's a nefarious plan behind it where he's actually being controlled for some future purpose, sort of zombie army kind of thing. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he was all, and I have to tell you, I got it from a video, and he was all sweaty in the video. Which I don't know has anything to do with anything, but here's the audio from said video. Here it is.
I think that World of Warcraft is a tool of the New World Order, and other video games like it are also. Their intention is to distract you, zombify you, basically make it so that you are neutralized. And basically you're lost in this other world, the world of Azeroth, and in that world, you can be a champion, you can be a hero, and you can be popular or whatever, but in that's all artificial.
Sorry, I interrupted the end of there. Let's talk.
You know what? I learned a lot.
Well, yeah, let's address this guy first and get him out of the way, because he's a bit of a fringe element here. I'll ask O this question. Do you think he's... I mean, the guy's freaking, he's insane. I mean, part of this video was him, it wasn't him just talking, it was him deleting his level 70 characters one after another to kind of ceremoniously rid himself of this scourge in his life. Did he sound crazy to you, or is it just me?
No. Well, look at it this way, Scott. I normally tend to think that most people that entertain thoughts of conspiracy theories are, in fact... crazy.
Really? Certifiably?
So, I mean, it's not just him. I mean, whoever's saying, you know, conspiracy theories are. I mean, they're probably one of those things that guaranteed are going to make me say, you know what? I think you might just be crazy.
But, really?
Yeah.
You think that's always a good sign of craziness?
I think paranoia is, a definite sign of some type of mental imbalance. Anytime you hear somebody refer to they a lot without ever actually saying who they is,
that's a pretty good telltale
they're
sign.
They're usually a little bit paranoid.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty interesting. You know, I actually, I'll probably be speaking about this a lot more later on, but I found a very interesting article, and it says something very similar to what you were saying there.
Yeah.
And basically, the person in this article says that it is Blizzard's fault that World of Warcraft is so addictive.
Yeah, it's really
that
their fault.
They are to blame for their addiction because they made the game so damn good.
Bastards.
And all you can wonder there is, you know what? People at Blizzard, you know, you should make your next game crappy.
Yeah.
So people don't want to play it so damn much.
Yeah, what were they thinking? Yeah. Why not build something mediocre so that people don't get addicted to it? That's their responsibility. It's their civic duty, damn it. That's ridiculous. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Who said that again? What article?
One article I'll be referring to later on.
Oh, good, because we do want to talk
about it. I'm not going to ruin the surprise.
Yeah, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. We know that there are certain elements to addiction. And no one taught us this greater than Wesley Crusher in 1989.
Yeah.
And sweating.
And who?
Wesley Crusher. You don't know who that is because you don't watch Star Trek, dude.
No.
Wesley Crusher said the following and really learned a lesson this day from his friends Tasha Yar and Data. Here it is.
Data, I can understand how this could happen to the Arnarins. What I can't understand is why anyone would voluntarily become dependent on a chemical.
Voluntary addiction to drugs is a recurrent theme in many cultures.
Wesley, no one wants to become dependent. That happens later.
But it does happen. So why do people start? How can a chemical substance provide an escape?
It doesn't. But it makes you think it does. Drugs can make you feel good. They make you feel on top of the world. You're happy, sure of yourself, in control.
But it's artificial.
It doesn't feel artificial until the drug wears off. Then you pay the price. Before you know it, you're taking the drug not to feel good, but to keep from feeling bad.
And that's the trap.
All you care about is getting your next dosage. Nothing else matters.
I guess I just don't understand.
Wesley, I hope you never do.
Lieutenant Yar, we're ready in the guest quarters.
Wesley, I hope you never
we're
do.
We're in the guest quarters. We're going to do some lines.
Dude, there's a reason Tasha Yar died in a big pile of tar, black
pile
tar.
Pile of poo?
Yeah, whatever that was. That excrement from that alien or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. I love that
she
episode.
She sucks. She's the worst character in the history of Star Trek. I know that has nothing to do with addiction, but come on. That was terrible.
Well,
was that
the woman that was talking?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, it was Tasha Yar. That's
Tasha Yar. She sounds totally addicted. I mean, she sounds like she's snorting the right
there. She's nasty. She's butch. I don't like her. Never did. Can't stand her. Worst thing ever happened to Trek.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was totally 80s. Try to let people understand what drug addictions were, and you know, kind of explain it to us as young people who had never experienced drug usage. So
now, do you think Brian? That's a good point.
It was a little bit over the top, though.
It was way over the top, but do you think that was their intent, or do you think this clip's taken out of show context? Was there more to it than that,
that was pretty much it.
Yeah,
that was the public service announcement. The PSA right there was that part, that whole spiel they were just going through. Did you remember seeing the video game?
Yeah,
they
wear it on their heads, right, and they kind of see the little cones
goggles or something. Yeah. Yeah, it was so lame.
Yeah.
It was like they should have never shown what they were seeing in the goggles, because they eventually showed that, and it was just so lame. It was like, okay, that was just super lame.
Yeah,
I know that's off topic.
That was some of those early episodes that were kind of sucky.
Well, that reminds me of G.I. Joe. You know, knowing is half the battle.
Yeah. G.I. Joe. Hey, I would ask the chat room while we're talking here, who knows the trivia question? What female lead guest starred in that particular episode of Star Trek?
Oh!
You can't answer, Brian. You don't count.
Oh!
It was not Amanda Tapping. It was not. Oh, it was Ashley Judd. Very nice.
Nope.
Bithon? Janet Jackson. Yeah.
Bithon.
Janet Jackson's never been nearer Jackson. Star Trek. Anyway, speaking of addictions.
Now, Whoopi Goldberg, that was totally different.
She was, you know, it's the only thing I've ever liked her in, I have to say. I don't like her much, but I really liked her in that.
I liked her in, wasn't she in Sky Captain?
I don't know.
Who?
Was she in Sky Whoopi? Captain? In the World
was
of
she?
Tomorrow?
I don't know.
What
does she play?
I was about to say.
Oh no! Actually, the guy that was Sky Captain is a guy that looks a lot like her. I'm confused here. I just made that up.
Dude, you're thinking of you're thinking of what's his name? Freaking
too funny.
Ivana P. No, I'm reading the chat room. I can't remember his name now. Damn it! The British guy.
What?
He's good. Jude Law. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah, you see it's similar.
You think Jude Law looks like Whoopi Goldberg?
No, his name looks a lot like her, like Ashley Judd.
That's awesome, dude.
Oh, Ashley Judd, okay.
Jude, it works. Yeah. It works.
Hey Jude. I like that guy. Oh, where were we? Oh yeah, video game addiction. Okay. Let's do this. Oh my gosh, we're already at our first break. Well, let's do this. We'll come back because I want to talk about this article O found. It's pretty interesting stuff. And after that, we're going to take some phone calls. I know, that seems weird. We're going to take some live calls from people in the chat room and the community in general at large.
The community.
But we're going to grab them at semi-random. One of them I specifically want to talk to here shortly. So we'll do that in a minute. You're listening to ELR.
Extra Life Radio, the sport of the future.
Hey, my wiener hurts.
To website, myextralife.com.
That's it, myextralife.com.
And we're back. I was just doing my Porkins impression. We haven't done that in a while. I love Porkins.
We haven't?
No. I'm too fat. Stay on target. I'm too fat. Blue leader, pull up. I'm too fat. Anyway. Is that how it went?
Well, I don't know if you already did do it or not, but it is funny.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry about that. Okay, so Obsidian, you did a little research. You've been checking around this whole addiction issue. And by the way, it's all over the place. I mean, this is like the big thing for the media to talk about right now. I personally think it's a little bit ridiculous. We'll get to our specific opinions in a moment. Tell us about some of the stuff you found and why you think it's significant in this argument.
Well, all I had to do really, Scott, was check out, you know, these internets. And the internets are very interesting that way. I found one particular article that compared video game addiction with several other obsessions, most specifically gambling. Okay, so it says,
which PhD, is a game in itself,
clinical,
usually.
Psychologist and director of the Computer Addiction Study Center at McLean Hospital in Belmont, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Hears from 6 or 7 people a day seeking treatment for gaming addictions.
Belmonte.
And that person
six
says...
6 or 7? Well, sorry.
That person said...
I'm being an ass.
No,
go ahead.
Brian's
I'm sorry.
Just like,
yeah, yeah.
6 or 7? Anyway, go ahead.
And they say, and this is actually where I think it has a point, look at the fact that World of Warcraft now has 8 million people playing it. I think this might be a little bit out of date. Maybe
it's closer to 9
now.
It's closer to 9 now or something. Yeah.
8 million people playing it. Yeah. Even if there are just 5 or 10% who can't stop, that's still a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a damn lot of people. Jeez.
Dr. Orzak, the doctor's name is...
Orzak?
Marissa Orzak. Whatever. These right. similarities between MMO addiction and more traditional behavior disorders, such as compulsive gambling.
All right.
The same reward center in the brain is tapped. The dopamine system, or however you say it.
Dopamine.
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 Dopamine. Okay.
Dopamine.
Gambling has all the components that go with these games, she explains.
Okay.
Citing Solitaire as a simpler example of a game that can also lead to compulsive behavior.
All right.
Now, what symptoms might indicate a healthy gaming hobby is turning into a problem? There are a lot of things. People might ignore their friends. You ever done that?
Because of gaming?
Yes, constantly.
Interesting. I don't think I can answer that in the affirmative. Okay. I think I've never
done that.
They
may not get to work on time.
Yes.
And their family relationships are often affected.
Depends. If I beat them at Mario Party, yes, we're very affected.
Now, then in the article, then in the article, they interview a guy that was addicted to World of Warcraft. His name, he has to be called Splint.
Splint.
So they're talking about how much time Splint thought he had played, and they say, "How much time is that?" Splint owns up. By the time I finally quit, I had 180 days donated to Blizzard. That playtime took him just over 2 years to accumulate, meaning his account was logged into the game for nearly 1 hour in every 4. I'm thinking that actually isn't all that much compared to an.
No, there's some people I think that are probably more, but Splint, who deserves to be kicked in the groin for that name, that's stupid.
Yeah,
that's a dumb name. I prefer to be called Splint. Please refer to me as Splint.
Eventually, the person explains, you know what we've heard like a bunch of times about how, you know, in the World of Warcraft, you can be anything you want to be, and in the real world, you suck. But then he quits the game. He quits the game.
All right.
And he says, okay, when he quit the game, he sold his account and character to another player for $1,600.
Oh, my gosh.
$1,000,000.
Yeah.
What listen to this.
Okay,
this part,
go ahead. This is my favorite part. Go
this
ahead.
Part is the, it was a Christmas present from a mother to her son who already owned 4 accounts.
Holy cow.
Feel almost terrible to pass that off to him. He admitted.
Yeah, no doubt. Jeez,
dude.
But look, actually, the article does give it. I do give a thumbs up to the article for this. Splint's story is extreme, but is unlikely to surprise any heavy Warcraft players. To keep up with the big boys, you have to be prepared to put in the hours.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of Warcraft players who are content with an easier pace. Warcraft players number over 8 million worldwide, and some of them are finding out the game, handled carefully, has genuine educational and social value.
Education.
I'm really starting to dig this Obsidian Reporter voice.
I am too. Dude.
Oh yeah,
I like
you know,
it a
you
lot.
Know, I actually, it's fake though.
You're no, but you're like the man. You're Johnny on the spot, dude. You're like there in the middle of it.
Then they compare it to TV. They say Nielsen Media Research reports the average American watches television for 4.5 hours a day. That's not a world away from Splint's excesses. Although in this age of TiVo and VCRs, it's rare. It's rare for even the most woeful of TV addicts to cancel social engagements to catch their favorite shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a minute. We are that's the new title for this show, The Age of VCRs. That's what I'm doing it. That's great. Very, very nice. So that's actually really good stuff. These guys like Splint, they're freaks, dude. And this kid in this thing I played earlier, he sounds a lot like Splint. I wonder if he has a name he must go by. And the other thing I noticed about this kid is he looks emaciated, underfed, sort of has
really
weird bags under his eyes.
Well, I suppose that gives to the dramatic effect of the whole thing.
Yeah, had one nipple in his forehead. No, I'm just kidding about that. But he didn't
have
that.
Happen.
But there's questions. There's questions that remain, and I don't know how much this article approached this, but there's issues about does this kind of addiction to World of Warcraft or any other game? I'm not lumping everything into WoW like everybody else seems to be. I realize that's the media hot button right now, but there's lots of other things to be addicted to. There's Seamus 22, for example, who can't keep his head out of Halo long enough to take a pee. He's in the chat room now. So anyway,
yeah,
I joke, of course, but he's not unlike others who have addictions to specific other kinds of games. And the question is, even when they're not full on addictions, even if they're just rampant hobbies, how much do these things affect our relationships, our ability to get work done, our social skills, stuff like that? We had a listener write in. His name is Spoon Master. My spoon
that sounds
is
dirty.
Too big.
That just sounds dirty.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit dirty.
My anus is bleeding.
If you don't know what that is, don't write me and be mad at me. It's something that's out there. It's not me, okay? You just search the internet for my anus is bleeding. Actually, don't do that.
Man.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, you're going to get some nasty results, though. Do it at work.
Spoonmaster writes in, he wrote this today in the blog post. He says, gaming addictions are a real thing and affect people like any addiction to physical substances. Though the people addicted to games have many problems, I think far too many people place the blame on the game itself. So he kind of gets to the core issue for me. Goes on to say, someone could contradict me by saying something like, so if a person is addicted to heroin, it's not really the heroin's fault?
It's the person's fault.
Yeah. In that argument, the blame is on both subjects. The heroin is a very addictive drug, but the person chose to take it in the first place. With video games, I think it's similar, but it's also a different story. And he goes on to say this.
Yeah.
He says, I think that video games don't really cause a person to have a true physical addiction, like alcohol or meth, for example. My point in all of this is though video games can be addicting, I don't think people should blame developers for their problems. They have control over their lives. Every person has the ability to say, hey, I'm playing this game way too much. I need to stop for a while. Then he goes on to say, my 2 cents, dot, 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 or maybe more like 35 cents. Anyway, Brian, you were going to say.
This is what I think. There is a certain high and a chemical change in your brain when you're playing these video games, and if you play them enough, it can alter your brain chemistry to the point that if you try to stop playing, you will feel drained, down, basically you're suffering withdrawals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can become a chemical dependency of sorts, and some people have personalities that are more prone to allow them to become addicted.
Just like alcoholics, just like certain kinds of drugs are going to affect certain people a different way. There are people who become horribly addicted to pornography and nothing can be hardcore enough. The Goatsy guy is like Mickey Mouse to him. The point is that if you have a tendency to be susceptible, to that kind of input.
You have a tendency to be susceptible?
Yes. What did I mean?
Okay.
That sounds good to me.
It sounded right to me.
It sounded like double talk, but I
think it's right.
Yeah, I think it might actually be correct here in America.
The interesting thing about this, Scott, is that, I'm no expert. I am an expert. I'm an expert like Tom Cruise is a psychologist.
That's right. If he can do it,
there
you
go. That's right.
Yeah, so tell us what you think. What is your overall opinion?
You don't know psychology.
Humans, we are animals of custom.
Yes.
And basically, whatever you do, no matter what it is, the more you do it, the more your body, your mind, or whatever, is going to try to get you to do it some more. So basically, I mean, if you go to the gym a lot and you try to suddenly not go to the gym anymore, your mind or whatever is going to, subconsciously or however, try to make you continue going to the gym. The same thing happens with food. The same thing happens with everything. If you do enough of something, you're always going to want to do it more. It's what your body does. The same thing happens with sleeping even. I mean, you sleep a lot, You're gonna want to sleep some more.
Yeah.
So basically, that's just the way the human mind, body. That's just the way we work.
So the trick is what? Yeah. Moderation. Trying to be moderate in what we intake, what we do, what we.
Well.
Absolutely.
I don't really know what the trick is because, well, basically, the bad thing is, I mean, like I said, we're just beings of custom, but the thing is that a lot of those customs can hurt us.
Yeah.
I'll actually take this little. Is this a segue?
I don't know, but
sure,
you. But let me just say this.
We can make it into a segue.
Before you segue, let me just say this. I like that in Colombia they say we are beings of custom. Here we say we are creatures of habit. I like that there's two different ways to say that.
Very interesting.
Please continue with your segue.
Actually, we don't say beings of custom here. We say seres de costumbre.
Oh, sí. Mucho el freaking mecánico. Anyway.
Which means you scratch your butt a lot. That's just roughly translating.
A lot is the key. Okay, so transition away. Go ahead.
Okay, now you guys might remember a few years ago, or a couple of years ago, or a year ago. I don't really remember.
Okay.
That Doom 3 came out.
Yes, I remember that. 2 years.
When Doom 3 came out, I read an article on it, and I remember being very excited about it. Let's leave any comment about how Doom 3 was. Sorry. And I was reading articles about it and everything, and I remembered when we talked about the topic for the show, one particular article, it cost me a little bit of Google searching to find it again, but it's an article. Okay. It says, no one is looking forward to the release of Doom 3 more than Greg Tanner. Greg, a 27-year-old computer gamer, intends to quit his job, sell his car, and break up with his girlfriend when ID Software's new first-person action game is released. Greg's reasoning is sound. He just doesn't want to be burdened with his real-life issues, which would only distract him from his computer gaming goals.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, he says,
keep going.
He says, I worked hard to earn enough money to pay for the computer hardware I'll need to play Doom 3 effectively. I've already started severing contact with casual friends. I've disconnected my phone, and I've purchased... Oh, this part is great.
And I'm sorry, I can no longer talk to you.
Sorry, go ahead.
And I purchased enough sustenance... frozen burritos,
yes.
Cheese puffs,
yes.
No name cola, to last me 6 months.
Oh,
if the game
man.
Is more popular than anticipated or an add-on pack is released, I've scheduled some downtime to make a Costco run if necessary.
Oh.
So basically, the article just goes on to say that he actually has his... What do you call that letter you write to your boss when you're going to quit?
Resignation letter.
Resignation?
Yeah. That he has his resignation ready. All that's missing is a date, and that date will be, of course, when ID Software.
Can we have a follow-up? Is there a follow-up on this article? Because obviously Doom came
no,
and went.
No, actually, I tried. I tried finding if this guy actually did all this.
Yeah, I would love to know.
Or if maybe this guy shot himself when he saw how crappy and boring Doom was. But no,
the funny thing, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
He not only had his resignation note written and ready, he had a breakup note to give to his girlfriend along with a box ready with all the stuff he would have to return to her.
Jeez.
He also pre-purchased Christmas presents. He even prepared speeches to give to his friends, you know, so they wouldn't bother him.
Dude, did he know what Doom was? I mean, did he have any idea? Yeah. This is not like...
Here, so-and-so.
This is the best part. I mean, he says that he was going to, you know, basically cut contact with his friends, at least the ones that weren't playing Doom 3. And he says, and I quote, most of them understand it's something I need to do.
Oh,
now,
Lord.
Now, the article goes on to say, this actually is the part that struck me the most from the article. Greg thought about ways in which he could balance computer gaming with socializing, but he wasn't willing to sacrifice one for the other. He says, there aren't enough hours in a day to live a real life and still be a true gamer. Until the day they find the cure for sleep, that is.
Yeah.
The article goes on to say how he lost his job at Walmart when Quake came out, and then when Quake 2 came out, his girlfriend broke up with him. And then when Diablo came out, he flunked all his college courses. But at this moment, he is better prepared. I won't have any of those uncomfortable social issues to worry about this time, said Greg. I'm severing those loose ends so that nothing interferes with my commitment to gaming.
Oh my gosh, dude. Seriously. I mean, you've got to find a follow-up.
I'm sure most of you had already seen this article, but maybe we need to check it out again. You know, we need to be reminded.
You know what?
Go ahead, Brian. If anyone knows how to contact this guy,
oh, absolutely.
If anyone knows any contacts or any way to contact the guy, we'd like to have him on the show, I think.
We would, dude. I want to talk to this guy. I want to find out. He probably has to kill a guy in Reno to get, like, Quake Wars or whatever's coming out. Enemy territory. Oh, it's coming out. I got to kill a guy now.
It would be interesting if anybody listening to Extra Life knows about this guy. You know, maybe if we can get in contact with him. Especially, I would like to know what he thought about Doom 3.
Absolutely. Was it worth it? That's exactly the question, yeah.
Now, we got an email. Nothing will top that story, but we got an email from Chark07, who addresses something interesting in that I think Nintendo is on the right track in terms of attracting people who can't devote 16 hours a day to a game. He says this, all gamers can agree that if you were to add up all the time you had invested in your games, you would shudder or cheer at the amount of time others would say you have wasted. I have to give kudos to Nintendo for actually putting take-a-break hints into games. I personally remember dusting 18 to 24 hours in a weekend just in Team Fortress Classic. That's crazy. I love that game, though, back in the day. I'd play that thing till my fingers bled. But he makes a good point. It's actually kind of interesting. You'll play Wii Sports or something, and then kind of in the middle of it, a little screen will pop up and says, why not go outside for a while and, you know, put the controller down? And that's an interesting approach for them to take.
That is way cool.
And I think that they're not dumb. It's not just some silly thing they do. They're saying, you know what, regardless of how you feel about the Wii, they're kind of saying, look, this isn't something you need to spend 8 hours at a time doing. Play it for a few minutes. Have some fun. Bring some friends over. Play for a while with them. Get out of that and do something else. I think that's a smart stance, and it does seem to sort of counter this culture of insane play and, you know, spending way too much time doing this crap.
I had a question for you and Brian, actually.
Do it. Ask.
Because you know O's curiosity is insatiable.
Yes.
I wanted to ask both you guys, we've all had games during our lives that we just couldn't stop playing. Now, maybe for a lot of people that is World of Warcraft, but I'm 27. Brian, he's 30 something. Scott, he's like 84.
Pretty lucid for 84.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But we've gamed a lot. I mean, we've gamed a lot, and we've gamed... Scott is older than video games, so he practically...
Dude, whatever, dude. I am not older than video
games.
You aren't
older than video games.
No.
I mean, there's no way video games are like 60.
Dude, games... I am 37 years old, and in 1969, there were... maybe there weren't. But there were games pretty quick after that.
Weren't you, like, born with the atomic bomb or something?
No, dude. Yeah, it was the bomb. Everyone hide. The Nazis. Blah, blah, blah.
The bomb gave you birth. But no, I was wondering, like, what game from the past you remember because you really just played that game all day up to the point where, you know, basically your mom either yelled at you or stuff like that because you play that game up to a level of maybe addiction.
I will go first. My answer is going to be one that people won't expect because I've logged many hours in Doom and Quake. So, you know, kudos to that guy. I enjoyed those games as well. Yeah. But the one I spent the most time with, and it just seems odd now because I could never do this now. It just would not be healthy for me to do this, but my brother-in-law and I would stay up until about 5 a.m. 3 or 4 nights in a row playing Super Street Fighter 2 for the Super NES back in the day. We could not get enough of that. Oh, yeah. Just love that game. Anyway, Brian, what do you think?
That's wild. Well, I have to say, throughout the years, I've had several games that have caught my attention and probably almost to the verge of addiction. I think Quake was probably the first one that I really just played nonstop.
Quake 1, Quake 2, Quake 3, all three.
All of them. You name it. Really, really Quake 1 and Quake 2 probably more than Quake 3.
Yeah.
But then I was finally able to put that behind me, and then I started playing Sims. And I remember we got addicted to that. Me and my wife
were addicted to Sims?
It kind of worked out.
A lot of people are, dude.
What a tulip.
Oh, dude. dude.
What a tulip. Wait, did you just call Brian a tulip? Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
No, no, no. Actually, I played Sims a lot too, but yeah. Normally there's this sort of joke going on or stigma yeah. that Sims is like for gay men, and well, we all know yeah. Brian is gay.
You call them tulip?
I couldn't possibly play Sims like I used to play. It just yeah. doesn't appeal to me like it used to. But
yeah.
man, when back in the day, loved it. Used to play the crap out of it, and I wasn't even gay. But
do you think we're gonna do that with Spore? Do you think Spore is gonna take us over
now,
like that?
Yeah, World of Warcraft. I got a little addicted, but not nearly as bad. Really, now more than I seem to be able to control it better. I'm able yeah. to. I'm able to really look and
why
say, yeah,
what,
pace
what
myself.
What did you say? So,
Why is Brian stuttering?
He's not. He's I think it's your lag.
He's in denial.
Am I breaking up?
No,
am I breaking up?
He's getting lag. I'm sure.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. This damn Skype. We blame Skype. Skype is the devil. here's what I'll say before we go to our next break, and then we're going to start taking some calls. These as you get older, as you take on more responsibility, either in career, family, whatever, there is a tendency to not have this problem so much. It is not hard yeah. for me to say, I need to do this before I can play a game, or I need to only play that 2 hours because I got to go do this, or whatever. It's yeah. not hard for me now. I don't have a problem with it. But when I remember a night we played Doom 1 at my old office. I used to work yeah. for a computer company. My wife worked there too, but she was pregnant, just about to do maternity leave with our first kid. And I was so hooked one night playing these guys in deathmatch that she was dead tired, really pregnant, like 7 months pregnant. She just laid sprawled across four or five chairs and fell asleep while I sat there and played that thing till like midnight or one.
And such a good husband.
I know. What a great husband I was. But anyway, when we come back, we have a lot more to cover, including a little more of this topic, as well as some calls from you and a voice from another station, or no, another station, another podcast that you might know when our program continues.
Glory be to the bomb and to the holy fallout as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
This is Extra Life Radio.
And welcome
and
back.
Ashley from Alabama, you're alive. There's your question for Scott.
Ashley from Alabama. Do you know an Ashley in Alabama? Is that why you say that?
No.
Oh,
no.
Well then, come to my... Come to my
house.
I don't
think I know anybody.
I'll give you some popsicles. Alabama. You want some popsicles? Sorry. We were talking about the Family Guy, that old guy that likes Chris. It's kind of creepy. Oh, shoot. My headphones just went weird. Oh, I'm good. Okay. Welcome back. We're going to now do this. We're going to take some calls. And there's a whole lot of you that want to come in here. Before I add any of you specifically, I'm going to bring in a voice from the, not from the past, from the present.
That sounds stupid, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, just a bit.
I think we're all voices from the present.
We're bringing in a special little guest here. Hello.
Greetings, Extra Life Radio.
Oh, look who we have here. It's Randy Deluxe from Texas. Randy, how are you, sir?
Woo-hoo. I'm doing very good. How are you guys?
I'm really good. And so is Brian, and Obsidian probably is too. But I'll continue to speak for them as if they can't answer for themselves.
Yeah. How's George
yeah.
W?
Yeah, we're kind of good. Thank you.
Okay, Randy... There's a reason we have you here, sir.
Sure.
Not just because we like you, because we do.
Likes you sexually.
The main reason is because you you live in a two wow account household with you
wow.
and you and your wife.
A minimum of two. Yeah.
Yeah. Your dog has an account, right? No, I'm just kidding. Needs the opposable thumbs. And you guys play quite a bit. You're both in the guild. You're both lovers of the game and that sort of thing. My question to you, sir, is how do you manage to not let World of Warcraft become a stumbling block for your relationship, as it has for so many people out there, and instead become something you actually, can both really dig on?
Okay. Before I answer your question, I would like to do you a favor and stave off the outcry that other Star Trek geeks are going to burden you with.
Uh-oh, what'd I do?
In the coming week.
Oh, he made a mistake? I love this.
What'd
I do?
It was not the game. That scene was from an episode called Symbiosis.
Oh, really?
Okay.
No. I mean, I hate Star Trek. I think Star Trek is like the lamest thing ever, but Scott making a mistake.
Yeah, you love that.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, though. This was in the first few seasons that I've blocked out of my memory and hate with a passion, right, so it's right. All right. It's
not a problem. And I can understand you blocking out this episode because it's one of the worst episodes of The Next Generation.
Oh, yeah.
It was written by a fellow, and if I was a real geek, I'd remember his name. Robert Lewin. Oh, and
so he's
he was one of these guys who had been writing television for 50 years at that point and didn't know how to write TV anymore.
Oh.
And it's horrible. It's a horrible episode.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
I would just ask the question, is Tasha Yar in it? You would say yes, and I would say, well, then it's a horrible episode.
And that was Denise Crosby's very last episode of The Next Generation,
before she got wasted in the pile of goo, right?
They recorded Symbiosis after they recorded Skin of Evil, which is the one where she dies.
Oh, Skin of Evil.
Interesting.
You're a nerd.
So she already knew she was going to get fired.
Well, oh yes,
I think she was. I actually think I think she left on her own accord. I don't believe she
maybe
fired.
Maybe she thought she was going to go do something else.
Yeah,
maybe that's why she was acting so poorly in that scene.
Well, I hear that she's now Amanda Tapping and is enjoying an SG-1 final season.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm just kidding.
I like Amanda Tapping.
I hate Amanda Tapping. She sucks.
We know you do.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, Randy, how do you guys manage it? How do you do it? How do you keep it from becoming an addiction that affects your relationship with your wife?
It's honestly difficult. And I mean that. We've been playing WoW for a very long time. We got into it because we had friends who wanted us to be with them. And I describe our process to where we are now very much like I would describe a drug addiction.
Yeah.
There was a pusher. They came along and gave it to us for free. You know, we wanted to be just like our friends. So we started playing too, this sort of thing. And there was a time when we had to question whether or not the negative that we had allowed World of Warcraft to become for us was worth what we, you know, thought we might be getting out of it, and had to reset. We had to, you know, take it down a notch and figure out what the, you know, how to handle it. I mean, really. So I completely agree with it. You know, if there's two kinds of addiction, emotional and physical, this, you know, can be a huge emotional addiction.
Well, so do you think the fact that she enjoys actually playing, that's been a huge help probably, right? Because then you've actually got something to do together in this regard.
It's nice. I mean, don't get me wrong. People tell me all the time, man, I envy you. And I think, well, yeah, I envy me too. It's a lot of fun to play with your mate. But it also, on the farthest end of the negative spectrum... I'm sorry.
No, dude, you're fine. It's Obsidian
Perf pants over here.
Yeah, Obsidian finds a nice nasty joke in just about anything anyone ever says. So you're fine. We love that.
Okay,
about
all right.
It makes me want to rub his, makes me want to polish his head and kiss it.
I know.
Okay.
But one of the downsides is way out on the farthest end of the negative scale, and that is when we really have other things to do. We really, you know, like WoW would be the worst thing that we could do. Neither one of us is the one saying to the other, we shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
You know? So I completely understand. And like I say, it takes a lot of will to, you know, to regulate your behavior so that you don't fall into addictive patterns. It takes a lot more when you have an enabler that you sleep with.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, yeah.
That's a very interesting take. It's not exactly what I expected.
But I got a question for you, though. Okay. What about do you think about the treatment that these games are getting, that basically they're treating them like they're drug addictions? I mean, I've read articles about places all over the world where basically they're treating it like they would treat, you know, an alcoholic, or they would treat a drug addict. And I mean, these people are actually going to some sort of, or literally, rehab for game addiction.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think
about
that?
That's a bunch of crap.
Do you think that's taking it too far?
What is rehab anyway for that? I mean, do they like wean you off by letting you play some Pitfall or Pac-Man or something?
Pokemon.
That's right.
Yeah.
Make you watch a really bad episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bunch of crap. And here's what I think it boils down to. For starters, the first part of the question is it okay for us to say, you know, that Blizzard is like a drug pusher and the game is like a drug? And I say no. It's not okay for us to say that. We should not treat it that way. It not any more than anything else that anyone else is trying to sell us and keep us coming back to.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you...
Pepsi Cola.
Right. It's in Nike's best interest to addict me to getting new shoes.
Yes.
You see?
It is.
I I'm sure there are people out there. I know people who are addicted to whitening their teeth, you know? That's all possible, and I don't think everything is a disease.
Yeah.
Now, on the other side, you're asking about the treatment. Okay. You know, show me a treatment that works for addiction, and let's apply it to, you know, your gaming addiction. Yeah. I am personally opposed to 12-step programs, and here comes some hate mail, but I don't...
So am I. Don't worry.
Oh, good.
Oh, don't worry. You won't get any. If I was opposed to it, too, you're fat.
I think we're going to do it half the time anyway, 6 steps as much as anybody should.
Hey, Brian likes to...
Yeah, right?
Brian's a lazy sack.
That's right, yeah. Throw out that step where you got to contact everybody. That's nonsense.
Yeah, screw that. Don't need that part.
Yeah. That's
this
awesome.
Is about me.
That is so Brian's M.O. Get up and go, help me do the things I can. I'm done. I got to sit down. That's what he did.
I'm glad that O agrees with me. In fact, I think O and I should go get a room together.
Ew, dude.
We could talk about modern skepticism and but anyway, I mean, I'm sure that there are better treatments than cold turkey. I've never come across them, but cold turkey works
cold
for me.
Turkey.
You don't
what?
Yeah.
Where did we get that phrase from anyway? Quitting cold turkey.
Yeah, I'd like to know. Who knows where that came from? Quitting cold turkey. Does that mean like that means you just have to eat the turkey even though it's not cooked, or
was it leftovers from Thanksgiving? You have to just stop.
Well,
I
would assume when you're talking about cold turkey, you're talking about Thanksgiving leftovers.
That's what I would think too.
I would assume that it refers to the sort of sense of immediacy of not having time to cook and prepare things properly, so you just take the turkey out of the refrigerator cold and put it in the sandwich. And I just
come
made
on.
That up.
that's a stretch,
interesting.
Dude. You know what I think? Yeah, I'm sure that what are they called? I almost call them pelicans. Who are the guys that came over on the Mayflower?
Pilgrims.
Pilgrims.
The pilgrims. The pelicans.
With the pilgrims.
Yeah, we got all the pelicans on the Mayflower, and here in Latin America,
they probably came up with it. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying.
No, I'm going to go with the explanation that when you try to quit something you're heavily addicted to, you get all cold sweat and goosebumps, and you look like a cold turkey.
I see that.
Oh, well, that could be it. That could be very well.
Well, you see,
it.
we don't have turkeys here in
cold or warm.
So I don't really know what a turkey would look like when it is cold.
Yeah.
I will say, however, that you guys are friggin' cruel. I mean, why would you enjoy watching a turkey be cold?
Yeah, that's not off topic at all. You know what's great, though, is Brian. I like Brian's idea. For you guys, it's like cold. What'd you say? Cold monkey? Or
cold monkey? Yeah.
Cold dingo?
I think that's what it is.
Cold monkey ass. That's awesome. That was a band. That was my band in high school. Just kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Randy, I appreciate you coming in here and chatting about this because I knew that you would have some things to say. We're gonna.
Hey, Randy. Before you go.
Yeah.
What's your game like? From
what's your big
your
addiction?
Childhood? What game were you addicted to? Which one did you play nonstop?
Oh, let's see. Let's just go backwards. Diablo 2 was a huge addiction for me.
Me too. Yeah.
And my brother and I enabled each other for that one.
Yeah.
There was a game called oh my gosh,
Leisure Suit Larry.
I'm thinking through all of the RTS games that I was addicted to. I was addicted to Total Annihilation,
StarCraft
a lot of the TI games.
I played StarCraft 2 till I stayed up a lot of nights for that.
Going way back, you know, when I first got the baby Nintendo, I probably got in trouble with my parents for Super Mario Brothers.
Oh,
I played
really?
That game.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'd sneak that game. I acted like a pure addict.
Doesn't it piss you off? Does it piss you off that people can beat that game in 3 minutes now? Does that piss you off at all?
Oh my gosh. I went back and tried to play it just the other day. Someone had it loaded on their virtual console, and I was horrible. I couldn't remember anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, continue to be addicted to WoW because I need you for that.
I love it.
Yeah, Scott helps.
I kid. All right, Randy. Well, you're awesome. Thanks for taking the time. We're going to pull one more guy in here, and we need to have you on as a regular guest sometime. We'd love to do that.
Sweet.
Awesome. All right, I'm hanging up on him.
In the nicest way possible.
You should have told him, not us.
No, I know. Okay, we're going to add one more. This is Brad. We're going to have him come in real quick.
Hello, Brad.
He's gonna. This is just a good old fashioned listener. I actually think this might.
Is he in yet? Is he in?
Oh, I know which Brad this is. Brad, are you there? Brad, are you there?
Who could have foreseen Skype problems?
Yeah, who would have thought? Who would have thunk it? I mean, I knew Randy was prepped because.
Hey, there we go.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Hey, Brad.
Sorry, I hit the mute button.
That's all right. We will. We hit it all the time, but that's on purpose because O is usually speaking at an inordinate rate of speed. anyway, I'm kidding. Welcome to the show. Now,
what did I miss?
No, you haven't missed anything. Brad is not only a listener and a fan. He also happens to, this was a surprise to me, but he happens to live in Utah, near where I do. And yep. Brad is also a budding young artist, and he's the guy who put together those crazy cool 11 by 17 posters of the three of us.
Oh, those were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are sweet.
Yeah. So Brad is the man. And by the way, I should mention, if you want to buy prints of that stuff, you can. There's no reason you couldn't.
You can't?
You can. and it would really help. Yeah. It would help Brad out because right now I understand he's living in a cardboard box. And we'd like to
something
help
like him. That. Yeah. It's kind of small, though. You've seen how big I am, so.
Yeah. He is. You're a big dude.
I got to say, for a cardboard box, you got great telephone.
Well, you're kind of a big dude. You were formidable when I saw you.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you here. So,
how big is big?
He's how big?
I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
And
Scott is
on
that
the
big.
Weight side, I would say about
500.
No. 5?
Yeah.
500 pounds?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I used to weightlift, so
he's a big fella.
Nice.
Big. He looked like the kind of guy I would want to have as a
bodyguard?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody does, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's seriously formidable. You see him and you go, please protect me no matter what occurs, protect me. Anyway.
Yeah.
And he's a fine artist, which is great too. So big guy, good art, and here he is on the Extra Life radio show for hundreds to hear. Thousands, actually, these days. So, Brad.
I'm traumatized.
Yeah. Do you have a question for us or any sort of take on this particular topic at all about the whole addiction issue and all that?
Well, you know, the addiction I had, you know, it was mainly just playing the games. It wasn't WoW itself, you know. It was, I guess, like, when, you know, I lost my job, I was, you know, doing everything. Everything just seemed to happen, you know, snowball where it went bad. And I used WoW as my crutch, I would say, to, you know, have some kind of, you know, so-called life, you know, to play. So, it's nothing really to do with, you know, it's a great game. Yeah, people want to play it, you know, but, you know, when you give up everything to play the game and then, you know, when you're trying to get back into life and you're just ignoring everything just to play the game, yeah, it's kind of, that's where the self-destructive properties really come in.
So it's got kind of an escapism thing that's dangerous.
Oh, life. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool. Well, that's awesome. Are you currently playing WoW or any games like
that? No, I quit, actually. I actually sold my account to a Chinese game, Gold Farmer.
You did? They buy them, too?
Yeah, very nice. How much did you get for it?
Yeah, what do you
I
get
got
for that?
$320.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but the account has since been banned, yeah.
Well, yeah. But I wonder, though.
Everybody's just spamming.
Do those guys, I thought they just sold accounts. I didn't know they bought them.
No, they buy them, too. Play them if you're pretty high level. I was level 70. I was decked out in T4. Well, some of it. Yeah. Well, other stuff is just purples and crap.
Blizzard cannot do anything to you now. You are protected.
Oh, I don't care.
Plus, they'd see you.
Well, yeah. I mean, who would bother him? I can fit inside him.
Well, you're in big trouble, mister. Oh, my God. Look at him.
You could fit.
You should have seen my ex-girlfriend. She's like 105 pounds. It was funny. We were the odd couple.
Wow, dude. What happened to her? Did she get lost?
I guess I know what to say.
No.
I think she's still underneath me somewhere.
No, she went back home, and we just kind of grew apart. So.
Oh, that's
she's
too bad.
Canada.
Oh, Canada. Well, there's your problem.
Well, that's not nearly as much as funny as what we're saying.
Oh, Hong Kong. You say Hong Kong?
Oh.
I love China.
Dude, it's so much fun over there.
Yeah, I loved Hong Kong. Hong Kong was great. Yeah. Not mainland
it is for
China.
You.
Mainland China was a butthole, but I loved Hong Kong.
That's the funniest thing when I went over there, because they've seen tall, skinny people, but they've never seen a tall, big person before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some serious looks while I was over there.
Gojira!
Yeah, and when you...
No, that's Japan.
That's Japan,
sorry.
But that was awesome, Brian. That was freaking awesome. So, you know, I noticed when I was in the subway system there, I look like, you know... Nanook from the north, dude. Just this huge, tall dude sticking out of the sea of black heads.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
You can see over everybody all the way down, dude. It is so freaking hilarious.
I was afraid they were going to crawl up on me and kill me.
It
like
is amazing. I mean, you don't even have to go that far. Just come here. Come here to Colombia, and you will be the huge dude. I mean, I'm short, but I'm not exactly way below average. I'm actually average short.
Yeah.
And I weigh 120, maybe 130. So technically, you're like almost four times me.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
When you go back to China, you should just tell every person you get a chance to meet, just tell them, yeah, we're all this big in America.
Yeah, watch out, China, you bastards.
You ain't seen nothing until you seen me down there.
That's awesome, dude. Very nice. Well, I gotta thank you, Brad, for taking a minute and talking to us. We totally appreciate it. And if those if people want to see those posters, what's the best place they can go? Where do you want them to go?
Let's see.
Should I go to the forums? Should we have them go?
Yeah, I have a blog. I can post them to the forum too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's do that. That'd be awesome.
I'll post them to the forum again as a general.
Yeah, I'll try to put these in the show notes. So send me a reminder, will you, while I'm putting that together.
Sure.
I'll make sure that happens.
Hey, Brad, before you go,
yeah.
The game from your childhood. Which one were you addicted to?
Thanks. Oh, keeps remembering. I keep forgetting.
Ooh. Game from my childhood. Which one I played the most? Or?
Yeah, the one you got the most hooked on.
The one that addicted you the most.
Yeah.
I remember playing a 10-hour straight session of Smash Brothers when it first came out.
Oh, wow. On the N64?
Yeah.
Oh, wow,
we
dude.
We sit down, four of us. We just play like the monster session so you can get how many kills on the other people.
Nothing wrong with that?
Or less, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that? That's a good game. I enjoy it.
10 hours. But,
wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, go back and play something fun for us for a while, and don't get addicted. That's all we can ask.
Probably Counter-Strike Source.
Oh, yeah, good game. I need to play that. All right, well, have fun, dude. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Brad.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. So there you go, folks.
500 pounds. Wait a minute. I can't get over that.
He's a big dude. I saw him. He actually came to my office to bring me a couple of prints of those things.
Wow.
And this is, I didn't, before this, I didn't really know he was from here, and then I was kind of like, wait, is this the guy that lives in Utah? And anyway, the whole thing worked out where he showed up. And he walked in, and I was like, the apocalypse is upon us. We're all going to die. I mean, he's humongous. He just reminds me of, like, a big warrior-looking, like, something that...
I can't help but to think that he's, like, shaven, bald. Is he, bald, or has he got, like, hair?
No, he had some hair.
Some hair?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember exactly. Yeah. Kind of shortish hair. But he was really big, and he looked like something that, like, the 300 would have to fight. You know, something that was just like a big formidable man. Like, I've been trained since I was a big gladiator kind of guy. So anyway,
nice.
It was really cool.
That's what happens with all the weight training.
So he's not fat. I mean, he's not.
No, he's just big. It's hard to explain. Yeah, he's gentle. He's like this big gentle giant. He
gentle.
Okay, he
picked me up and petted me.
He gently kissed me on the cheek, and we had tea or something. No, he was very nice.
Well, the tallest person I have ever seen in my life, I met at the Texas Renaissance Fair. He was 6'9".
Oh my
lord!
That's
and
tall.
Funny thing is, people called him Bird. If you're listening, Bird, hello to you. And he was also incredibly nice.
Yeah. The big guys are always the nice guys because you know what? Usually they got nothing to prove. They're just big and they could kill you if they want to, and they're nice. That's just how it is. It's the little weaselly guys that are really get your feathers in a bunch.
It's the same with dogs. I mean, you know, the meanest, yappiest dogs are the Chihuahuas.
Yep.
You know.
That's funny how that is. Isn't that weird? We've just come on to something.
Yeah.
We started the show about addiction, and it's all about, Great Danes are the sweetest dogs on earth.
Aren't they? Huge.
Oh, I know. They're huge, but they're so nice.
Yeah. They're stupid, too.
Yeah.
And they really are. No, they're dumb as nails.
Yep, and they poo as big as Ottomans, which is great, too. All right, well, that's good. Oh, my gosh, you guys, we're out of time. That's going to about do it for this episode of the, what's the show? The Extra Life Radio Show.
We're on Extra Life Radio.
We are. We will be here, of course, next week. We're trying to get a crappy movie. Oh, you know what? I may not be here next week, or I'm going to have to figure out a different night because I'm in Moab all week.
Are you going to die?
I'm going to be in Moab, so I'm roughing it in the desert. So I'm trying to find out what's going on. We'll try to get a show in. Maybe we'll do it Monday night if I can somehow do that before I leave Tuesday morning. So we'll work it out. I'm not sure exactly.
Where are you going?
Moab, Utah. You ever heard of Moab? It's like the mountain biking.
I've barely ever heard of Utah.
It's a mountain biking capital of the world. They do triathlons there. It's just crazy, ultra extreme sports kind of place. It's a big desert, and it's really nice. It's really cool. World famous. People come from all over, except Colombia, apparently.
I know it is.
Clearly not world famous.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Apparently, it's first world famous, just not third world famous.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. Nice. Yeah. That's terrible. But anyway.
No, okay, I'm going to ask my European listeners, have you heard a lot about Utah?
I'm sure they have.
Write to us.
Yeah, write to us and let us know. Absolutely. If you want to be part of the show, you can call us. That number is 206-203-CRAP. That's the crap line. You can also email us.
Get off the table.
The cat line. You can also email us.
Have you muted us yet?
MyExtraLife@gmail.com. No, you're on still. I'm not muting you, dude. Remember, we're not doing that anymore.
Well, the cat is on the table.
Oh, that's fine.
Mute us. I need to talk to my cat.
He's going to mute us next week.
I'm muting you now. For everything else, go to MyExtraLife.com. Check out the blog. Check out the forums. Check out the comic. That's really where it all began. And yes, I did just have a 6-year anniversary for Extra Life. So happy birthday to it. And also, just quickly, those who've been pining and bugging me to buy the Clap Heroes poster, that is now available. 50 limited prints. You can buy one now for $29.95. It is up and available on the store link. So you can check that out if you want. The Heroes thing is going well, although right now I'm not taking new orders till I get back in town, trying to get caught up in what I have. And lastly, what was the other thing? Oh, don't forget to check out the Dumb Jedi shirt we just put up on the store as well. You might be interested in that. Big thanks to GoDaddy. Big thanks to YouBuyNow.com, both for sponsoring the show. Big thanks to everybody in the chat room. We'll do more of this call-in stuff later, so don't worry. You'll get a chance at some point. And big thanks to everybody who helps us out every week. Sebastian, Rob with his great theme music, Mark, Rico, all those guys, everybody for all that they do, especially Owen Bryan. They're kind of important. And thanks to you. For without you, we blow. So we'll see you guys next week for show number 142.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
They're crotchless.
Sorry about that.
Wah, wah, wah.
He'd be Old Spice. Let's air our dirty laundry.
I have your picture on my cup.
Paris Hilton. I don't get her.
Harry Spice. Don't forget, dude. You'd be Harry Spice.
The state of California says she's a bad person.
You're going to end up taking it from behind. I mean, you're going to be somebody's bitch. Somebody's going to grab you. Somebody's going to rape you.
Don't make me say it, man.
They called me Tripod in high school.
For pleasuring himself in a public place.
All right, really, we got to slow her down a little bit.
Oh, Extra Life jumped the shark, dude.
But I don't think you should be giving people fashion advice.
They'll have a comic book called Rape Man, but they won't say butt on stage. We're not ruling out subterfuge, ninja work, or piracy.
Well,
thanks for not turning this off yet.
Hey, Extra Life listeners, this is Ben from the band Happy Birthday. You can check us out at myspace.com/happybirthday. Now, we all know that ELR covers all of our favorite geek topics, from games, movies, TV, and comics, but music is the one thing that the show seems to be conspicuously missing. I blame Obsidian. So I emailed Scott my idea to contribute a segment detailing my weekly pick for new records by bands that you just might love. My album pick of the week, if you will. And this week's pick comes from Washington, D.C.'s Ted Leo and the Pharmacists. Now, Ted Leo rose to fame with the now-defunct band Chisel in the mid-90s, but it wasn't until he formed The Pharmacists earlier this decade that he gained nationwide adoration, for music nerds like myself, at least. Their new record, and their first since 2004's Shake the Sheets, is entitled Living with the Living, and it's a fantastic step forward for the band, tying Leo's consistently great songwriting with more raw, stripped-down production reminiscent of the band's earlier albums. Some of the best tracks include the driving Sons of Cain, the searing Bomb Repeat Bomb, and the gorgeous Bottle of Bucky, which I'll play a clip of right now.
9 years down the road and I remember it still, standing on a corner back in Gotham Hill. 9 days out from home, feeling no pain, a northern city sun breaking through the rain, that warmthless sun barely shining on me.
If you like what you hear, be sure to head over to iTunes or your local music store and pick up Living with the Living by Ted Leo and the Pharmacists. It's out now on Touch and Go Records, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello everyone, this is Mark with your 3-minute movie review. This week, Children of Men.
I can't really remember when I last had any hope.
And I certainly can't remember when anyone else did either. Because really, since women stopped being able to have babies, what's left to hope for?
I haven't seen you for nearly 20 years.
Need your help. Not for me, a girl. Need to get her to the coast, past security checkpoints.
So why did you come to me?
I trust you.
Show him.
Children of Men takes place 20 years in the future in 2027, and the premise is that 18 years prior to the movie's date, there was some sort of event or virus that went through humankind and caused it to be impossible to have children. Now, this situation has caused the world to lose hope and is falling into chaos because of the inevitable collapse of humankind. Clive Owen plays Theo Farron. He's a former peace activist who is now a jaded, depressed bureaucrat who is enlisted by a politically subversive group to help a woman who is miraculously pregnant get to a nebulous, secretive group called the Human Project, who are working on curing the infertility problem. The woman and now Farron find themselves pitted against political foes who care only about the political reasons for harboring the woman, and Farron must wade through the political issues that could be lethal if he takes the wrong step. This movie, like most futuristic shows, gives a very bleak, dystopian view of society. I guess that's what makes the premise interesting. The big questions are, is the futuristic world believable, and is the storyline engaging? The answer is a resounding yes on both counts. This movie really grabs you from the opening scene and keeps you on the edge of your chair throughout the entire show. Director Alfonso Cuarón, who also co-wrote the screenplay, does an amazing job at creating a very realistic world that you could easily see happening 20 years from now. He doesn't go overboard with the quote-unquote futuristic novelty objects. He slightly updates everyday items, similar to what you would happen if you compared like 1987 with today. For the most part, everything looks the same, but with some slight modifications. The issues with society, government, and people interaction are also done extremely well. This can be a violent show, but again, the violence is the realistic sort. It doesn't have a phony feel.
Hey, everybody, sorry about that. For some reason, Mark's file got cut off at the end, so I don't know what happened, but I'm sure that there was probably not much left. Sorry about that. Now on to Rico.
Greetings, everyone. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with another review of a recent movie for you. Last week on opening day, I went to see the Fantastic Four film, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Let me say first that I enjoyed the first movie quite a bit. I'm a longtime comic fan, and of course, these movies are not really all that, they don't stay real close to the comics, but they are fun to see, and I think they're fun for even people who don't know the comics to see. And this new one, Rise of the Silver Surfer, is the same kind of trend as the first one. It's just a fun summer kind of popcorn movie. All, of course, the main characters are back. The Menace, of course, is the Silver Surfer and eventually Galactus in the movie. I really enjoy just the lightheartedness of this. Some people that are the Fantastic Four and Silver Surfer purists out there have a big problem with some of the things they did to the characters and the Surfer and Galactus in this movie, but if you just kind of go in with an open mind and have a good time, I think you'll enjoy it. There's some neat things that happen in this. The effects are good. One thing I wasn't too happy with, I wished it would have been a little bit longer. It felt a little rushed, especially at the end. It's only about 90 minutes long, and I think they could have used an extra 15-20 minutes to, kind of flesh out the end of the movie a bit. It ends fairly quickly, and that kind of happened with the first movie as well. But that's it for this week. I will talk to you again soon. Rico is signing off.
Fascinating.
Hey, Scott. Tell your mom that streetwalker trucker types take a dump like everybody else. Gosh darn it.
Hey, Scott. This is Jeff from Jacksonville, Florida. Just wanted to say I just listened to your latest episode, and I love the new bumper music between your segments. It's awesome. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Scott. Are you guys still doing the Ask the City segment? Because I haven't heard it in, like, forever. Because I have a question for Mr. Obsidian. You should, like, answer this on the show or something.
Yeah, it's Tennessee Taylor. I've got a well, actually, for Brian. Brian, old buddy, if I'm not mistaken, Dean, what's his face from Kiss? Is of Jewish descent, so I'm pretty sure that name is pronounced Chaim, like chutzpah and Chaim. I'm pretty sure. So you might want to look into that there, buddy. So anyway, bye bye.
Hey guys, this is Scotty D, and I thought I'd just leave my comments on the Paris Hilton stuff. And I think that these rich people should get what they deserve. If they do something wrong, then they need to be punished just like everybody else. They shouldn't be getting special treatments. And I hope that's I hope a lot of people feel that way, because you know, if we give everyone special treatment just because of status or monetary value, then it's not very just. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Hi, it's Nolan from the White Niagara Podcast. My crappy movie suggestion would be The Stuff. It's an old horror movie from the mid to late 80s. I don't even think you can get copies of it anymore, but if you can, it's got to be the crappiest movie I've ever seen. So, good luck. Bye.
Extra Life Radio, bringing you nerdtacular rants since 2001.
Dad, I was swimming in a rainbow with millions of babies, and they was naked, and then all of a sudden I turned into a perfect smile.
Put a roof on the son of a bitch!
I'm right on the microphone.